Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my associate, Mr. Dan Dubose, CPA. Dan, how are you doing today?
Yeah, good. Good morning.
Good deal. Well, I notice where private equity is throwing money at HVAC companies nowadays. Have you seen, did you see the article? And I don't know if it's yesterday's Wall Street, is one of the publications that I peruse, and I thought, wow, that's probably pretty smart, at least in our areas, right?
But, yeah, probably for the whole country. You know, everybody's used to that cool air nowadays, that cool, dry air, I should say.
Well,
in Houston, especially where it's so humid most of the times.
Yeah, well, it's the whole world. You realize, it's apparently, and it's in dispute, I've read several articles on either side of this argument that we set a record, the hottest in the history of the world this week. And I don't remember which day it was, but I don't know. That's crazy. In any event, well, Dan, as we normally do, let's get our disclaimer out of the way real quickly and remind listeners that just because you listen to the show today or you happen onto our Be a Planner or Be a Planner Show .com websites, that's plural, that does not make you a client, and we suggest that anything you hear today or in the archive shows, if you go to our website and play those, whether it's tax strategy, investment strategies, etc., that you don't run out and jump into a transaction tax-wise or investment-wise without checking with your current advisors, whoever they may be. And if you don't have advisors that understand this content or this area of practice, feel free at that point, certainly, to reach out to us by going to our website and clicking the link for our forms. And you'll see a couple of forms that if you fill those out, we'll be able to talk with you about your objectives and give you some idea of whether we can assist you in meeting those objectives. But it's an exciting market right now. There's a lot of opportunities in spite of what the mainstream press may be reporting. Some of it's being reported in the mainstream press because I think even they're surprised that, you know, things like apartments and even in some areas office are not doing nearly as badly as was predicted, and in some cases things are still moving up, maybe at a declining rate of increase when it comes to market rents, etc., but nonetheless there's a lot of markets that are not in negative territory, and so you know, we've got some healthy activity going on with our client group, and we help assist their understanding in all cases as to what they're signing up for. It's critical that you understand what you're signing up for when you start thinking about investing in real estate private partnership syndications, because as I've said many times, a syndication is not a syndication is not a syndication. Every syndication, literally every project, is a bit different. And even if you've invested with a particular syndicator, lead partner, etc., for six historical transactions, you've done six deals with the guy or gal leading that transaction, you can count on the current one or the next one being different. And if you don't pick up on those differences, especially in the tumultuous market we have now, it may be to your detriment. So I know many people look at professional fees as a unnecessary luxury, but I'll tell you, it'll cost you more than our fees if you make one wrong turn and don't get it right. And so we try to help you in that regard, and we feel like it's a significant value add. Dan, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
You know, you were speaking to, it's not the market, the real estate market not being as bad as we might expect it. We see in the news, we've seen some refinancing going on. We've seen some new stuff coming on. So there, you know, the lending is happening. Although there's still people that are investors that are giving stuff back, we have heard. So I guess we hear more about the bad news than we do the good news most of the time, but it still is a good real estate market. It may not have been the killer it was in 20 or 2019 or 2020 prior to COVID and all that, but still it's probably still the best place to put your investment money long-term, thinking long-term again, to, you know, be invested in real estate. You know, lenders are still making loans. The small apartments we read a lot about, the stuff less than 100 units is still a popular item, it seems like, on the stuff that I read and you referred me to as well. It's happening. There's still people need places to live.
Well, not only that, there's more than one way to acquire an apartment building than taking out a traditional loan with one of the mainstream or conventional lenders. And that's a lot easier to do on a $6 or $7 million project than it is a $60 or $70 million dollar project. And, you know, as we've discussed before, and we're going to start talking about small apartments even more than we have been on occasion, right? And, it's gotten to the point where with the confluence of factors in the market, you know, interest rates have gone up, cap rates have gone up, insurance costs have gone way up. Although that might be softening, I know I was looking at some coverage this week where, you know, it's amazing how if you tweak some of the variables, you know, in your policy premium or in your policy coverages, the impact it can have on premiums. And so it does make me wonder at times when I read stories, or we've actually got clients that are in transactions that, you know, literally had a 3- to 4-fold increase in insurance premiums here within the last year. It does make me wonder, well, what level of deductibles are those sitting at, or what coverages? You know, are they covering flood? Are they covering, you know, some things that, you know, in San Antonio, I don't worry about with my properties, right? And in any event, when you look at the way syndicators have had to adapt their terms on how they get paid, it's kind of scary in the sense that there doesn't seem to be much of a slowdown in terms of all the upfront money that's being taken. And it's like I said, Dan, many times, you know, look, a lot of these guys are turning what should be a triple or maybe a home run into a single or maybe a bunt, because when you consider the math metrics on transactions, don't forget that most syndicators lead with the project level returns, not the investor returns. And there's typically a difference, and in many cases it's a substantial difference. And so why, you know, if you could buy a small apartment building as maybe a group of 3 or 4 investor friends that you have, and if you don't, you know, there's other ways of finding them. You know, there's meetups, and then, you know, I know there's people that connect with us wanting to know about that, the possibility of working with some of our clients, which I tell, you know, those folks that, hey, you become a client and that's a possibility. We don't just hand client lists over to non-clients, nor do we hand them to clients for that matter, but we have ways of connecting, obviously, as a third party and trying to see if there's any interest before we pass that info along. But bottom line is, you can pay maybe a 5 or 6% management fee after you acquire the asset to a third-party management company. And, you know, that's all that's diluting your transaction versus you look at some of these transactions, including the ones that I think we're going to hopefully get to today, where you've got easily a 30% to, in some cases, over 50% capital dilution. That's D-I-L-U-T-I-O-N, Mr. DuBose. And that's a big chunk of your invested capital that's working for the lead partner or syndicator, sponsor, whatever you want to call them. And that's just, I don't want to say it's insane, but it better be a home run, truthfully, at both the passive investor level as well as the project level to justify those kind of upfront costs. And that scenario has exacerbated. I don't see it changing to be more preferable towards the investor. Would you agree with that, Dan?
I would agree with that. We're seeing fees that are still on the high side of things. That's what you're alluding to, is that it's just too much coming out of the investor to support the lead, the on the deal. You know, you factor in the higher cost of interest, the higher, potentially higher cap rates, insurance. Don't forget taxes is another big, huge part of the deal that's playing in deals these days, too. Property taxes.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially in Texas.
Yeah, no, that's very true. The property taxes are, you know, it's not quite the multiple that insurance became or has become. I guess it depends on your coverage, right? But there's no question we have not yet seen the decline that we would hope for as property owners. And in any event,
the battle is still going on, though.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know, Dan. I mean, I haven't really dug in and investigated the competing sides there in the Texas battle, you know, Governor Abbott versus Lieutenant Governor Patrick. But I know when I first read about the proposals, I didn't think they were that dramatic of a reduction in the amount that's going to come out of my pocket, right? And maybe the commercial real estate guys aren't the ones they care about. I don't know.
Right.
But anyway, well, listen, let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll be back in a few minutes with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at NPRoss.com, Nathan at NPRoss.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
With big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBones. And Dan, another way that people can connect with us during the week or at their convenience, besides sending us a text, you can go to our websites, either beaplanner.com or beaplannershow.com, and book a call on our call scheduler, and we'll be happy to, both of us, to get on a call with you to discuss your particular facts and circumstances and how we might help you. So, again, it's BeAPlanner, BeAPlanner.com, or the same BeAPlanner and add SHOW.com, and be happy to do that. Dan, let's talk briefly about some of the current news. There was a story that, you know, when it comes to one of the biggest metrics we look at on how different markets are doing, we like to talk about absorption. Do you want to just briefly define that for those that might be worried or wondering?
Absorption to me is what the market, occupying of the available units for rent. And you're talking about specifically in the rental market, I guess. The,
right.
Occupancy, I find odd, is down a little bit in some of the major areas that we look at. You know, Houston has gone down. I mean, is that possible for real? Is this is June data too? I think we're looking at here.
Yeah, no, I think it is. Now again, you know, I don't know. I've lost track as we look at so many different markets over the course of a week, a month, et cetera, but I don't know what's been delivered new to the pipeline as of late. I know there's some projects coming here in the near future. We've also talked about San Antonio. I believe it, San Antonio has about 18,000 units that'll be delivered in the next, what, year, 18 months? I think,
yeah,
16 of that's... By
and,
the
and it's,
end of the
and it's talked about
year.
Decreases in San Antonio as well. That's
yeah.
Just, with all the new stuff. And, but yet we hear about how many units we need, and it's in the thousands of units. I'm talking about countrywide, and we're still having some negative absorption. I mean, that's
I think part of it is the data points, the data selection pool, et cetera, varies by the assorted, you know, white paper type organizations that do these studies. And that, of course, that article was using data from RealPage Market Analytics, which, you know, they're top of the heap. So I don't know, but that's all that I could attribute it to. But all I really wanted to point out is, look, you know, we talk about the good and the bad on our show, and we understand even in a bad market, people make money. I mean, we've got clients that I've watched for 20 years that have invested in apartment private partnerships, and have there been some that didn't make as much money during the slow period? Absolutely. Of course, you look at it over the long haul, you know, a 5 to 7 or 8 year hold, and I don't know of any client we've had that actually lost money. Some didn't make as much as others, but losing money on an apartment building, assuming there wasn't something catastrophic like a hurricane. I know we had a client that had a building wiped out with a hurricane and had some disputes with the insurance company. In fact, I think it went to the Texas Supreme Court, and the client actually lost, but it was part of a portfolio. And I think overall they recovered, you know, from the investment standpoint. But those are rare circumstances. And I would tell you, and Dan, you could probably speak to this. I think if I recall back in the day when you were building apartments, y'all had a similar occurrence. And I would tell you, stay away from the coast. You know, yeah. It's like, don't do that. All right. Don't do that again.
It's like my mother-in-law told my wife a long time ago. She said, you can rent a place on the beach, you know, when you want to go, but just don't ever buy one. So we don't have one on the coast. Much as we love the beaches here in Texas, we don't own a place on the beach because we don't want it blown away, which we've seen so many of our friends with it. And I did experience one myself.
That's a good point. Well, what were the cities? Give a little bit of the info in this article. Let's see. Are these the top five? No, let's see. How many?
Yeah, it's talking about Las Vegas, Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York. I mean, we're talking about the big guys, but they also mentioned the smaller markets aren't shielded from that trend either. So, you know, things are down, and it's got to be attributed to the data point. You know, when you got to pick a point to cut off, it's probably the end of a month or the end of a quarter or the end of a half year or something like that compared to the prior year. So, you know, I think it's rather news. It's real news because, you know, we just hear so much about occupancy being so much higher, but these were talking about as much as, you know, they talk about it in basis points, but that's, you know, 430 basis points in San Antonio. That's
4.3%, isn't it? The way I calculate basis points.
That's
hard to swallow given San Antonio's huge influx of new residents, because the same article that was discussing the 18,000 units coming to market was saying that that's not enough based on, you know, the folks that are moving into San Antonio. So I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to say, and this is why as an investor, you really have to know who you're investing with and confirm however you can get there that they're doing it because they plan on making money for the whole group and not just the team that's leading the transaction, because, you know, the fees are significant that they're being charged on these transactions in many cases. And I just, it really frustrates us when we review these transactions and we see $2 or $3 million being taken out at closing on a, I don't know, $70 or $80 million, maybe $100 million transaction. And I just refuse to accept there is no rational explanation for why that should happen. And 3, 4, 5 years ago, you couldn't find a transaction that was operating in that type of structure. And, you know, the 20 to 30% promote or override that gets handed to the syndicator, lead partner, sponsor, etc., on day one was adequate for those folks to go put the deal together. They didn't need all the acquisition fees and due diligence fees and debt placement fees and capital raise fees. It's insanity for them to try to do that. And all I can tell you is don't invest in those. It's just like not building on the coast or buying on the coast. Don't do it. And there are other options. And as we develop the small apartment content more fully, you're going to realize what we have. And I'm speaking as someone that owns an 8-unit apartment building in San Antonio. And I can tell you right now, that model, without all the fees, has become more lucrative than investing in the 300 to 400 unit properties where your capital is being diluted by over 50%. It's crazy. So anyway, Dan, let's see here. Let's grab another article. The article about deals not being repriced. Did you get a chance to look at that one?
Yeah, it's talking about it being repriced, meaning that the costs are going down somewhat in some areas. You know, the lumber, for instance, is down, 4%, I think they're saying, which is a significant decrease. But then you got insulation that's increasing. So, I mean, there's offsetting decreases, increases that may cause an overall increase or decrease in the cost going forward. You know, we're talking about those 18,000 units being built in San Antonio. You know, they were planned 2 years ago. Prices were somewhat higher. Maybe they're coming down. Maybe they were able to buy out a contract project at the time they finally had their numbers all together. They were very fortunate.
Well, yeah, that and there, some of the developers are changing the materials that are being used to compensate, like maybe a different type of exterior finish or roofing types. I mean, there's a number of ways to shave some dollars off, and even the timing. You know, their purchasing schedule.
Don't be shaving now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's big differences in finishes, and as well as I do. I mean, you look at it. One area that a lot of us can see this is in the hospitality market, just hotels. And, there's a big difference between staying at a Residence Inn, for instance, in the Marriott chain versus a Courtyard or Red Roof Inn. I think that's their branding, if I recall, or let's say Intercontinental Hotel versus the Holiday Inn Express. Okay, so anyway, let's see here, Dan. I wanted to talk about one more: the recession, yield curves. This is your area. Are we in a recession or aren't we? That was the title of the article, more or less. By the way, all these articles are on the resource page of the BeAPlannerShow.com, and some requirements, like for instance, the ALM GlobeStreet.com site makes you sign up to be able to read them. You don't have to pay anything. But I would strongly encourage you, if you're looking at investing in the commercial real estate space, whether it's apartments, industrial, medical facilities, retail, hospitality, you really need to be connected with sites like these knowledge bases, because, I mean, it's amazing the resources that are out there to give you insights into this commercial real estate private partnership area or asset area without you having to go put your own money out there to learn a hard lesson. And how about we learn from the mistakes of others? Or how about we take advantages of shifts in the market that you and I will never learn about in time if we were having to do the research ourselves? But anyway, Dan, they're talking about things way over my head here, like the 2-year, the 10-year treasury yield curves. Give us a little insight here. This is your bailiwick.
When they talk about curve inversion, they're referring to the short-term versus the long-term yield rate, particularly at the treasury level. You know, the longer the term, the higher the interest rate usually, but in this inverted world we live in for the last year or so, the longer term has a lower rate than the shorter term. So it's just, you know, they call it an inversion, and historically, and we're talking about a long time history, the inversion has pointed to a recession coming. But we've been talking about this recession coming for the last year or more, and it hasn't happened. I mean, we don't see it as such. You know, prices, inflation is still there. It's less, it's greater than the 2% the Federal Reserve wants to have as a okay inflation rate. We're at 3.6, and one guy was talking on the radio yesterday. He's expecting it to be decreased in this, the announcement that's coming up, I think this week, going to have a decrease. He's thinking down to 3%, but then he's expecting the inflation rate to rekindle and go higher between now and the end of the year. In the meantime, the Federal Reserve has paused. They're calling it a pause, not a stop, but a pause to rate increases in the interest rate. You know, the next one, they're still expecting two within the next 6 months. So for the end of the year, there'll be another increase of maybe a quarter and a quarter, or 50 and a quarter, or whatever they might, basis points I'm talking about, increase in the interest rate. So who knows? But, you know, the prognosticators in the stock market, prognosticators are talking an increase at year end for the year 2023, which is fascinating, I think. Of course, that market just moved crazy anyway, it seems like. Every day there's something new there, of course. And it's just amazing to me that we can still operate. We're looking at cap rates still of 5, maybe 5.25. Some people have even pushed it to 6.00%. When they're looking at 7 in 2 or 3 years. But, you know, if we get those increases in interest rates that many prognosticators are projecting, that it's going to have an increase in the cap rate. It's got to be there. It's going to, you know, that potentially lowers the value, of course. If the higher the interest rate, or the higher the cap rate, much like in the bond market, the higher the interest rate, the lower the value. And it just works the same with the cap rate in the real estate market. Inversion, it's there, but it's been consistent for the last year or so at that inverted rate. It's really, really a strange market. You know, one reason that, I'm sorry, I'm going on a little bit here, Nathan, but one of the things that it's covering up a recession, so to speak, is the fact that the government is spending so much money at the federal level, the state level, the city level. They're spending so much money throwing it out to the public that it's covering up what the public, the people, might be seeing. Yeah, there's, who knows there either which statistic to believe, to read, and take into account. But there's, you know, it's some people, you know, we're seeing definitely an inflation. But has it stopped people from buying cars? It slowed down the houses a little bit because the interest rates are so much higher. But it definitely is the market's still there. Houses are still selling, and they're selling at, you know, good numbers, too. They're not in Houston area, at least. Talking to a realtor friend of mine that, you know, they're still moving houses. Just still moving houses.
Yeah.
Even
well, I don't know. I don't think there's any question there's more rate increases coming. Several members, including Powell of the Fed, have said there's at least two more this year, and I suspect there's going to be more next year, but I guess we'll wait and see. Hey, Dan, another article. In fact, I just put this one up while you were talking that I find interesting is this past week. Well, I guess it was it's on the 3rd, so it was this past week. Regulators, FDIC, the Comptroller, the currency, there's several that combine and coordinate policy, and they issued a final version of a rule for loan modification. And the thing I found intriguing about this is they don't mess around. They actually have examples of loan scenarios and what would be approved. And if you look at that article, Dan, they talk about example one is a $15 million office building loan based on a 20-year AM or amortization and a $13 million balloon payment or refinance likely. It was issued originally as a 75% LTV based on a $20 million as stabilized market valuation with a debt service coverage ratio of 1.3. The borrower hadn't been delinquent. Now, when you look at that, you're thinking, well, you know, that's a pretty good borrower there, right? And they talk about the scenarios that would be approved, and you know, it's still going to be if the bar hasn't been delinquent, that I guess factors in, but that's not a numerical stat, right? That's not a debt coverage ratio. It's not a interest rate. The numbers are what's going to dictate, but in any event, interesting examples. And then the other thing that I find, I would expect it, although I'm amazed at how many or how few syndicators actually show accrual basis accounting. The lenders ultimately are looking at loans on an accrual basis to make sure the cash flow is going to be sufficient for the payments, and full repayment obviously is expected. So curious, that this might be something we pick up next week, because we really do need to get past this break and then come back and talk about I think we'll talk about the deal out west. Let's go ahead and take our last break, and Dan and I will return here in just a few minutes to the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstone.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And Dan, I think let's go ahead and switch gears here and talk about a current syndication opportunity. And I guess we should mention right at the top that this particular opportunity is limited to members of a particular investor platform, mentor platform, what I call the old school platforms, like the old school travel agents. And, you know, we don't buy our tickets from travel agents anymore. And you really don't have to join an investor platform to participate in real estate private partnerships, unless it's a requirement of the platform that they make on syndicators or lead partners that want to syndicate, as is the case here. So they'll only allow their members to syndicate through their platform and require some certifications, et cetera. But anyway, I don't want to get into it on today's show, but we can talk about the reasons for and against joining membership groups like the aforementioned. And there are good reasons, and then there's other reasons not to, and we'll have a show on that soon. In any event, Dan, I'll let you begin the discussion here.
You talking about the one in Phoenix? I'm assuming that's the one that I've got brought up.
Right. And, that's correct.
You know, it's a fairly large deal at $36,200,000, over $200,000 per unit. They got a 5.6% interest rate, which is very good interest rate these days, I believe, at a 60% loan to value, which is good. But you're dropping down and looking at the bottom. How do we get that value? You know, we're still at a 5% cap
fixed
rate, going out at 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just lost my access here. There it is.
It's a 6. Yeah, I'll help you with some of the numbers while you're getting reconnected. It's the debt is a 60% LTV, which that's in this day and time, that's
good.
That's not great. Bad. And
yeah.
It's a value add, it appears, with about $10,000 a door going into unit upgrades, 5 to 7 year hold, very standard. And this cash on cash returns averaged 5 to 6% per year. And I guess like transactions we've spoken of recently that are, you know, good locations, you know, it's like it's a T-bill in a sense where you've still got some upside when you sell, potentially. Now, again, if the cap rates go up, then you lose that upside, or at least it's reduced somewhat. And so, you know, but, and of course, there's no guarantee of the full faith and credit of the U.S. government on this option. But I don't know. I mean, I think locationally, this one's in a good submarket, and but it's not a shiny new Class A property. Did you notice what is the class the lead is representing this to be, Dan? I don't think I've seen it. It may not be.
I didn't get down into that detail of it. You know, it can't be more than a B, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm at that age.
Yeah, it's of that age. It is in a good market, though. It, you know, they talk about increasing rents 17% over a 3-year period to get to that, you know, projected with a 5.3% cap rate.
Yeah.
You know, again, I don't know whether that's good or bad. It's less than their interest rate. That's not necessarily a total indication, but it's pretty close. You know, if you can get 5% of, you know, pure old cash at with T bills these days, T bonds, Treasury bonds, you know, get, you know, 5%. That's virtually guaranteed. Just have up to 7%, 7.5% cash on cash, which got a little more risk with it, I think. But there's probably, you know, a good manager here historically has been.
Yeah. Did you notice what the projected rent increases were? I was just trying to scan.
Yeah, I just calculated year 1 to 3 is 17% increase over that 3 year.
Yeah. So it's not unreasonable. Impossible. I mean, if you're making $10,000 a door in upgrades, that gives you something to sell, right, to new prospects. But I'm trying to think. Was Phoenix on the list we were just looking at for?
Yeah, and it had absorption in rents. Yeah, it did.
Challenges. They were being.
4% decrease in occupancy. You know, these guys are using an 8% economic vacancy, so it's, you know, they're being very reasonable there.
Yeah, I was just looking back at that article. I didn't see. They're not on the worst 5 markets, so in any event, there's still a lot of activity in that market, so I'm assuming there must still be a lot of people moving out of California that get lost between the edge of the eastern boundary of California and the western boundary of Texas, right, Dan? Isn't that where most of them are? Or Florida, even more probably. But anyway, let's see. I was going to ask you another question about the price that we're buying at. I think all in it's about 39,600,000. What's the projected sell look like? The gross?
Year? 54 million.
In year 6, I guess.
Yeah, $54 million year 6.
Okay. So that's a pretty big pretty big increase. I don't know percentage-wise what that works out to, but
50% increase in value.
Yeah, or 54, I think, is... Well, let's see. 50, that's a refinance.
56 to 54 is an 18% increase. Yeah. That's, I mean, I'm sorry, a 50% increase, $18 million. So that's pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, it's like a syndicator or two have told me when I talk about they're not using rational cap rates on exit. Well, a lot can happen in 5 years. Well, yeah, it sure can. And I remember how fast it all happened back in the early 80s, right? And 5 years later, it was tough. It was bad. A lot of developers committing suicide, literally, you know? So anyway, that was...
20% of prime rate was, back in those days, they called it prime rate, was at 20% as well.
So. Yeah, yeah. No, that's... That's a tough deal when your cost of capital goes up to 21 or 22%, right?
Yes,
but
it
anyway,
is.
Anyway, well, Dan, we're coming up on the end. I think we've got about a minute and a half left. Anything else you want to add to this transaction? I guess,
no.
Yeah, I wanted to just say one thing. The plan on this transaction, which I think is aggressive, but I'm going to mention it anyway because at least they're thinking this way, is that there could be a cash-out refi as quick as 3 years that would give an overall return of 55 to 60%, which would be 19% annualized. That would be pretty pretty righteous deal if that were to occur, but... In any event, well, listen, Dan, we're running out here. We're down to a few seconds, so let's go ahead and say goodbye to the listeners. We appreciate all the listeners this week and hope you'll tune in again next week. And, Dan, thank you for getting up early and coming on. And,
thank you, Nathan.
We'll look forward to next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.